thank you for being here. Things will be a little bit different tonight because what we're going to do is spend some of our time in meditation. There will not be an offering. I was saying to Martha, I thought I had all the bases covered, and I used templates to do my orders of worship. And if you have an offering, see Lisa. If things go well, the movement from this will move from rather light to extremely serious, because that's how the day went. That's how the day went. See, we have trouble visualizing that day because watching people die is not entertainment for us. Then it was entertainment. Okay, we talk about Jesus carrying his cross. Okay, there was a crowd. Okay, you can bet there were people along the way taking bets. You can bet there were bets. Is he going to make it as far as the hill? Every kind of personality you could think of turned out for the circus. Okay? Our word circus comes from the events that the Romans staged for people's entertainment. And generally in those, it wasn't just music and actors. It was, let's see someone or something die. About the only thing that still gets done in the West, and only in a couple of places, is bullfights. Bullfights had their start in the arenas. So that's why I didn't say, oh, be quiet. Okay? I think you'll catch how the tone changes. Okay? Would you join me in the call to worship? Today, he who hung the earth upon the waters is hung upon a cross. He who is king of the angels is arrayed with a crown of thorns. He who would not quench a smoking reed receives blows on his face. The bridegroom of the church is transfigured with nails to a wood. The Son of God is pierced with a spear. We wonder at your agony, O Christ. Show us, too, the wonder of your resurrection. And if you're able, would you stand and let's join together in 288.
Were you there when they crucified?
thank you. You may be seated. Let us remember each other. There are many of our number that are going through a lot. Some of us had some good news. But sadly, a lot of us are going through quite a bit. One of the families had a near miss last night and had to call the fire department. Our prayer will be that things will be settling down for them. And our prayer, I invite you to pray for you. Okay. One of the things that we don't talk about very much is we don't talk very much about what it means to deal with this at a spiritual level. We think about it. Sometimes we let ourselves feel about it, but rarely do we get past that level of how do we feel about it. Let us pray. Our blessed Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for coming to bring God's wonderful message to us. What we do tonight, Lord Jesus, is we remember how people didn't accept you and the message of God's love. Rather than rejoicing that they were loved, oh Lord, people killed you. And sometimes in our own way, we do the same thing. Somehow we kill you. We kill our memory of you. We kill our feelings about you. We kill our dreams of what you want for us, not only in this world, but in the next. Oh, Lord, help us to sit with our failures. Help us to sit with our unfulfilled intentions. Help us to sit and begin to experience what it means to be overwhelmed by God's love. You, Jesus, died for us. Amen. Can we take a moment for silent prayer? Amen. A couple of things before we start. One of them about how we'll finish. If you didn't get a nail last night, be sure you get a nail tonight. Take some time to read the meditation on the back of your bulletin. Spend some time with your nail. Martha and I were saying to no, it was Shirley and I who were talking to each other. And we were saying what a difference it means when you touch something like that nail. It somehow makes things more real. Over the next minute, be reading some scripture, and we'll be reading what certain people who witnessed the crucifixion might have had running through their minds afterwards. I've already mentioned that that day was a circus. Okay? The next day was going to be Shabbat, holy day. The authorities were really, really wanting to get things over and done with as quick as they could. Basically because they knew all of their support people would be unavailable because they'd be observing Sabbath, okay? All except the Romans. And so what was going on that day was stuff that we can't imagine. We can't imagine what the life of a Roman legionnaire was like. Okay. They were frequently people of the sort who would tie two cats together by their tails, throw them over a tree limb, and then take bets on which one was going to live the longest. Pain, they didn't talk about it. There are certain things that you had to do to stop a Roman legionnaire. You either had to cut his tendons, or you had to take his head off. Very little else would stop him. Sometime mid-morning, Jesus started toward Golgotha. There's all kinds of disagreements about where Golgotha really was, because the walls of the city have moved. And so the traditional site of Golgotha is now inside the city of Jerusalem. At the time, it was outside. So there's disagreements about, okay, is the traditional place really the place? It doesn't make any difference. I can't describe to you in detail because I've never been exposed to anything like it. Okay, what that day was in terms of circus. We'll talk about going to a ball game. Hey, there's going to be a crucifixion at 4 o'clock. Want to go? Might help how I feel to see somebody suffer more than I am. The events of Friday start on Thursday, described in the Gospel according to Mark. Immediately, while he, that's Jesus, was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him were a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." And so when Judas came, he went up to Jesus at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. All of them deserted him and left." They fled. The first witness to the passion will be Judas. "My name is Judas, and I know what you have come to think of me. The truth is that I'm not the worst person in the world, you know. I was brought to where I am, not by my greed or by my desire to hurt Jesus, but because I was really his closest friend. We had started to follow the rabbi Jesus because of what we believed him to be, the Messiah. This is the one, I thought, who would bring Israel to power again. We would regain our great monarchy. We would get ourselves out from under the invaders from which we had for so long suffered. If it wasn't the Babylonians, it was the Assyrians. If it wasn't the Assyrians, it was the Greeks. If it wasn't the Greeks, well, Anyway, now the Romans had us under their heel, and it was time for a change. And that's where Jesus came in. He was supposed to lead the rebellion or insurrection or whatever you want to call it. We were going to be his captains in the army that defeated the Romans and restore the pride to Jerusalem and all Israel and Judah. Everyone back home understood that was exactly what was going to happen. And it seemed like every week I heard from one of my family members back home asking questions about what was really going on. They wanted to know when this takeover was going to happen, when we were going to finally do something instead of just wandering around and teaching people. Then that perfume thing happened with that woman. Everybody got mad, not just me. Everything was getting off track. If the kingdom of God was supposed to be near, wasn't it time to get serious? So all I was trying to do was get things moving. I figured that if Jesus was pushed, he would have to do what we all thought he was going to do. If I forced a confrontation, I was sure he would lead us in a revolution that would change our situation. I didn't know this would happen. Let's take a minute and just sit with that. The next witness to the crucifixion is Caiaphas, the high priest. Matthew's gospel in chapter 26, 57 through 68 says, "Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so they might put him to death, but they found none. Although many false witnesses did come forward, at least two came forward who said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they to what it is they testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus' reply to him was, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He's blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You've heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that hit you?" From Caiaphas, "I'm Caiaphas, the chief priest. I'm responsible for keeping things the way they're supposed to be around here. We of the priestly class, forgive me, have a responsibility. Maintaining the temple, helping the people find a relationship with God. It's important that we maintain good order in our lives, especially with the political situation the way it is. We don't suffer undue hardships at the hands of the Romans. But until it chafes to be occupied here in the land that was promised to us through Abraham, it still chafes. We're not unduly oppressed, but it still chafes." We do look forward to the Messiah, but who is this Jesus? He's nothing but a carpenter's kid from a third-rate town, not even in Judah. Certainly, Yahweh has in mind a better Messiah than this. Certainly, Messiah will be someone who has been educated in the temple, someone who is politically astute, and who doesn't just wander around the country telling pretty stories. Of course, we had to take care of this Nazarene. He was acquiring a following, and the Romans were taking notice. When Yahweh's Messiah comes, and he will, believe me, he will undoubtedly be a member of a priestly class. Perhaps he won't be a Pharisee, but at least an educated man. And he will know how to go after the goal without all that wandering around and that storytelling and breaking the Sabbath. There's no telling what would happen if this Jesus character were allowed to continue to teach the rabble. It's really for their sake that we're doing this. Until the true Messiah comes to destroy these horrible invaders, we must simply drift along. Let's think about that for a moment. The next witness is Simon Peter. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself by the fire in the high priest's courtyard. And they ask him, "Are you not also one of his disciples? Aren't you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" And again Peter denied it. In that moment, the cock crowed. "Yes, I am Simon. He called me Petra, Cephas." It most often gets translated to rock. Okay? In Greek, it's the pebble. Okay? It's the pebble. I'm thinking about the pebble in the shoe. "Until he came along, I was just Simon the fisherman. But after meeting Jesus, I was supposed to be pretty special. I don't feel very special right now. Right now, I just feel afraid. I wanted to be strong for him. He made me want to be better than I thought I was able to be. And sometimes I did what was better than anyone thought I would ever do. But when it counted, I panicked, and I couldn't even admit that I knew him. I thought it was important to be as close to him as possible, so I mingled with the crowd outside the place where the high chief lived. I kept waiting to hear what was going on inside, and sure enough, someone recognized me and then called me out so that the whole crowd began to look at me. That's when I got real nervous. Who knew what these people were capable of? How were the rest to know what was going on if I didn't stay and wait to see what would happen next? So I denied knowing Jesus. If I hadn't, who knows what might have happened? I was just trying to be close to him and still be safe. Let's be with that for just a moment. Next, I'll be reading from Mark 15. As soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole of the council. They bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they're bringing against you?" But Jesus made no further reply. So Pilate was amazed. Pilate spoke to them again, "What do you want me to do with this man you call the King of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. I'm Pilate. I have the responsibility to administer the emperor's government here in this backwater place. It's a post that isn't considered to be very good. It's not the best assignment. Third-rate officials get sent to places like this. However, I try to make the best of it. Sometimes completely mad things happen, like today. The locals brought me a man who, as far as I can tell, has done nothing wrong whatsoever. And they pressured me, as the emperor's representative, to accommodate them by killing an innocent man. I don't like any of this. There's something going on here I don't understand. Even my wife started blathering about leaving this particular man alone. I just wanted to wash my hands of the whole situation. Actually, I did exactly that. In front of everybody. Experience has taught me that part of the art of diplomacy and governance is the ability to find ways to accommodate those governed. So while there was no real reason to execute this guy, I allowed him to be crucified. It was the way for us to get along. Let's sit with that one for a minute. From Matthew 17. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. I generally tell people, keep your ears open for things that can change our understanding of Scripture. A few decades ago, some nuns were excavating an expansion. You don't expand sideways in the old city. You have to go down or up. They were going down. And they found what appeared to be the remains of a Roman garrison. And they found a rock in it, a big rock. And on it was painted a game board. Okay, a game board. The speculation is it was used in the torture of prisoners. Here's a dice. Throw it. See if you move. One of the stops was put on a king's robe. One of the stops was a crown of thorns. One of the stops was a beating. When the game was over, you went to be crucified. There's no guarantee that Jesus played that game. But it shows you the mindset of the people he was dealing with. From a Roman soldier. My name really doesn't matter. I'm nothing but a soldier in the emperor's army. Another citizen of Rome doing his civic duty. I was on guard that day, and I remember how I felt when I saw how the rest of my troop was treating this man who'd been condemned. See, the army is not a tradition in my family. It's simply a way for me to get my citizenship and a decent rate of pay. I'm the first of my people who were able to get into the military. So it's important for me that I don't blow this. I come from a large, poor family. That's where all my pay goes to support them. Not growing up in a military family means that there's lots of things that I have to learn, things that I have to do, things that I don't like doing. This military life prizes and rewards both viciousness and cruelty. Those two things, along with our smarts and strength, have made us Romans the rulers of the world. Some soldiers don't know how to turn off what makes them heroes on the battlefield. The troops taunted and abused this guy mercilessly. It seemed that he was in bad enough shape after having been whipped. We didn't need to do any more to him. But the rest of the guys kept up the abuse. And while I hated it, I also knew that there were simply things I'd have to do if I'm going to keep the respect and fear of my troops. So I began to spit on him and taunt him too. It made me sick. But sometimes you have to go along if you want to get along. Let's sit with this for a moment. From Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry Jesus' cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. The witness of Simon the Cyrene. It's thought that Simon was a person of color. That's why he got picked. People of color didn't become Roman citizens. He didn't want to take a chance on trying to make a Roman citizen do what they didn't want to do. My name's Simon too. I came from the village of Cyrene for the high holy days with my two boys. We brought a lamb for sacrifice, celebrated the Passover with my wife's family. She was unable to attend this year's sacrifice because of the birth of our daughter. She's still not allowed out for another week. I was surprised to see such a great crowd gathering away from the temple. There are so many Jews in Jerusalem for Passover, they need to gather someplace. But why along this road? I could see that the crowd was excited about something, so I told the boys, Alexander and Rufus, to wait for me at the corner. Then I pushed my way forward until I could see what was causing all the excitement. That's when the centurion grabbed me by the arm and told me that I had to carry the cross for this man who'd been whipped. I tried to explain to him that I was just visiting and didn't have time to get involved, but the soldier just tightened his grip on my arm and started to reach for his sword. So I went over and I grabbed the cross from this guy who was going to be crucified. He was already a mess. He needed all the help he could get. I was worried about my sons. I didn't expect them to have to see a crucifixion, especially on a holy weekend. I figured I really didn't have much choice here. I had to carry this cross or get beat up or killed by the soldiers. So I carried it. Not because I wanted to, because I had to, or end up exactly like him. Let's sit with this just a moment. From Luke 23. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. I'm not exaggerating too much when I am trying to tell you that they would gamble over anything. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself as the Messiah of God, God's chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other one rebuked him, saying, Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then the other thief said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The other thief is the next witness. Yes, I'm a crook. I've supported myself by stealing, extortion, and any other way I could find to survive. What else could I do? I don't come from some fine, fancy family. I wasn't able to go to some fancy school. My days couldn't be wasted with pipe dreams and fine talk, so I did what I needed to do. Now I get my just desserts, I suppose. I'm not a good guy, so I'm hanging here next to somebody who didn't even do anything wrong. Well, never mind his problem. I have troubles of my own here, but at least I know what I am. This guy doesn't even seem to know that much. This guy is the one that proclaimed to be the Messiah. If he is, why doesn't he just climb down? Hey, if you're for real, why don't you save yourself and me too? No need for us to hang here if you are the Messiah, is there? Yeah, he ain't doing anything. I didn't think so. He's not going to do anyone any good. I didn't think he could. And now, even the crook on the other side of this guy, Jesus, is yelling at me. Jesus told him something about being in paradise today. Right. This cross to paradise. I don't think so. I suppose there isn't any much hope left. But then again, I didn't have any hope to start with. Let us sit with this for a moment. Jesus' death is described by John the Beloved, taken from Mark 15 and Luke 23. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. I'm going to add a little bit here. You want to know what it was like? Okay. The eclipse is coming. At 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then some of the bystanders heard it, and they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." Okay. Elijah was supposed to show up before God's final judgment. Okay. So someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Just wait. Let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave out a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." And the whole crowd who had collected for the spectacle, when they saw what had happened, went home in deep distress. The circus was over. And those who had known him, as well as the women who had followed him from Galilee, remained standing at a distance, and they watched it all happen. From John, the Beloved. "My name is John. I'm the only one of the guys left, the only one of us at the cross. I've watched this horrible thing, this cruel, cruel death, this crucifixion of my friend, my teacher, my Lord, from its very beginning. What a terrible, lingering death, hanging with indescribable pain until the weight of one's own body slowly strangles the very last gasping breath away. Most of the time, after these miserable spectacles, no one comes around to claim the corpse. Family and friends, whoever, are either too scared of what the authorities might do or just too cold-hearted to show any last bit of respect. So the crucified dead just hang on their cross and rot until their flesh falls off, or the birds and the bugs come and feast on them while their bodies just dangle. None of the other guys risk being here, but at least a few of the women and his mother have been here. If nothing else, they'll try to make sure that someone will take him down and give him a decent burial. Can it only have been a day since we were all together, laughing, singing hymns, feasting together in that upper room? I sat right next to Jesus. I was right there when he was talking about his body and his blood. It didn't make any sense then, but it's starting to make sense now. He started the Passover ritual as usual and took a loaf of bread, thanked God for it, broke it into a couple pieces, and he passed the bread around to us and he said, "The strangest thing, take, eat. This is my body broken for you." Then, as usual, he took a cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it, and passed it to us. And then he said something even stranger, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." None of us wanted to hear that stuff. We aren't sure what he meant. Jesus had told us several times he would die soon. None of us could face it. I couldn't face it. Never could I have imagined this. Why like this? My friend, my teacher, my Lord has given his whole life to God, and he's killed for it. How terrible. Jesus has died. Sabbath is coming. It'll be here soon. One of the witnesses, I wish that somebody had done their perspective, is Joseph of Arimathea. Nobody knows how many strings he had to pull to get Jesus' body. It was late in the day. They had to get Jesus buried before the sun set. That would be the end of it. As we leave this evening, leave with what happened that day, not only in your mind, but in your heart. If you don't have a nail, please get one before you leave. Shirley will help you make sure you have one. If you have a nail but know someone else that you would like to pass it along to, take an extra. Jesus' last word on the cross, You know what it was? It is finished. In a sense, he was wrong, because it was only just starting. Go in peace. Come back and celebrate Resurrection Sunday morning. Amen. Thank you.